excuse me. As everyone else is probably aware, it's allergy season, right? Oh, it's been, I've been draining. So, excuse me. I'm praying that I don't lose my voice because I feel like it's just leaving. All right. God has been good, yes? You know how sometimes you come to church or you come to worship and you're kind of just like bland, kind of like, and worship you. I'm not feeling that way this morning. I'm feeling good. There are times when I'm feeling that way, but God has been good to me. And it's not just new jobs or new circumstances. God has just really been literally opening my eyes to who He is. He's been opening my eyes. But I'm not going to get into this. I had to bring some notes today because I'm like, Lord, it's so much. My wife, I was screaming and shouting all over the house the past couple of days, and God has been good. The Great I Am, the song that we sang today, He is the Great I Am. And we're about to learn today a little bit about one of the I Ams that He professed. And He says, I am the light of the world. Yes? And so we're going to touch on that just a little bit today. I know that Faith prayed for me, but I'm going to pray again before I get into the Word because I need His help to do this. God revealed to me yesterday that this specific message offers healing and power to someone or someones. I don't know who it is. This message, this specific snippet of Scripture, it offers healing and power. That's what He taught me. So, I don't know who it is. It's already happened for me. And so, this is my meager offering. And let's pray so God can help me deliver this. Heavenly Father, we thank You for your Word. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for this Word that You've given me today. You saw the labor that I've labored in. And now I pray that You would prepare my heart and my mind, prepare their hearts and minds to receive what it is that You want to give me. Help me to decrease. And Lord, I pray that You would increase. Help them to see less of me and more of You. I pray that these words would be effectual, that they would not return to You void, but that they will have power, Lord God, to do only what You can do. Illuminate the text. Illuminate our circumstances. God, Your Word says that You are the light of the world. And God, we lean on You, and we thank You, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, most of us are aware of the issues, the suffering, the problems around us, yes? It's easy to see, especially when it's us going through it. I have a little cousin who, praise God, she was diagnosed with cancer maybe a year and a half ago, I'm thinking. Like three, four years old. And so she came into the world, and very shortly thereafter, she has the fight of her life. She has the fight of her life. And so as you're looking at these circumstances, it's like, man, this just doesn't make sense. She didn't deserve this. You know? But I'm pretty sure all of us, we know circumstances very similar to that, either in our family or we've heard about it. There's all types of suffering, all types of pain. Yeah? There's all types of illnesses. There's all types of depression and mental anguish and things that we go through. And in some of these circumstances, we're born with, and some of them we are born into. So, like anybody born in a family, and family just crazy, and it just kind of causes all of this drama around you, and you're like, God, why did You place me here in this family right here? And it's kind of like hard to understand, and you ask God, why? You ever find yourself asking it, why? Why? Well, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to answer that question for you. And a lot of times, God's not going to answer it this side of heaven. But it's normal to ask why. Even Jesus asked why. When He was hanging on the cross, He said, my Lord, my God, why have Thou forsaken me? So even Jesus has been in that type of anguish in pain. So it's a normal thing to ask why. These things happen, and by worldly standards, it's like, these people are innocent. Why are these things happening? And so I want to take you to a text. All right? I'm going to take you to a text. We're going to be in John chapter 9 today. We're going to be in John chapter 9. I thought we were going to be in John chapter 10, but then God said, no, we're going to move. I need you to go back and provide context for chapter 10. And so we're going to be in chapter 9 today. All right, so John chapter 9, I'm reading from the New King James, if you have your electronic device and you would like to follow along with me. All right. And if I could, like, give this, as I was studying and thinking about, like, does this sermon have a title? All of them don't have titles, but this specific topic, to me, it was revealed. Revealed. And God, this morning, He wants to reveal something to you today. Because oftentimes His works, His ways, His methods, they seem hidden or we're not looking. I don't know which one it is, but they seem hidden, yes? And so this morning He's trying to reveal something to you. He sent me here today to encourage you. So you don't have to worry because I'm not going to beat you up today because I know I've been beating you up a lot. He wants you to know today that He has power over your circumstances. He has power over your circumstances. He wants you to know that He understands the intricacies of every single thing that's happening in your life right now. Everything. You're like, well, if He's a good God, then why isn't He interceding? We're going to look at it. We're going to see. Maybe God can answer your questions through the text. But what I want you to do is I want you to keep your eyes fixed on Him today. Not only your circumstances, I want you to keep your eyes fixed on Him. And we're going to be in John chapter 9, verse 1, and we're going to read through this. Is there anybody here that's suffering through anything right now? So you can raise your hand. You don't have to. If you're suffering through something, this is for you. This was for me. It's still for me. And well, I'm speaking in past tense. This is still for me. So let's look at this. John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? Did this man or his parents that he was born blind? Verse 3. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When He had said these things, He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, it is he. Others said, it is like him. He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. As I told you before, we're going to use the title for this sermon is going to be revealed. Revealed. You know, as I was looking up, sometimes the obvious stands right before us, but I still had to go to Google to figure out, okay, what does this word revealed mean? And I'm going to come to it in a minute, but I want you to ponder that. Because he opened his eyes, and no one in this room, I don't think, I'm searching, no one in here is blind. Okay? No one's blind. But are we? Or are we blind? Okay? But are we blind? Are there things that we don't understand that are happening in our lives right now? Are there things that's causing chaos and we're trying to kind of feel our way through and it seems like we just keep stubbing our toe? Anybody ever stubbed your toe when it's dark in the room? Like you're about to die, right? Like, I can't believe it. Well, that happens in life as well. When we don't have enough light, when we can't see where we're going, when we can't kind of feel our ways around, we become disoriented. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But I want to kind of break this. It's so much in here, I can't even get to it all. You should be glad that I'm not going to go all the way through chapter 9 today unless He tells me to. But in verse 1, I want to illuminate something right here in verse 1. It says, now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man. So that draws out. If you're taking notes, this is the first point that I want you to know, is that Jesus sees you. He sees you. Oftentimes we feel disconnected. Oftentimes we feel like we're all alone and no one quite understands our plight, right? This blind man, think about it, he was blind from birth. And in this generation that we're reading about in biblical times, to be born with any ailment meant that you were cursed or that you were a sinner. You were shunned. You were set apart. You were unclean. Nobody would be your friend. Everybody would talk about you. Is there anybody who felt isolated or who feels isolated or who feels like you're sitting there waiting on somebody to hand you something? Right now, this man was sitting on the ground begging. You know, you see people outside with signs. I don't know if he had a sign or not, but we believe that this specific beggar was famous because he was born blind. And they're not saying where Jesus was at. They're not saying how he found out he was born blind, but they knew that he was born blind. For me, I relate to this person. Some of you may not relate to him, but two weeks ago when I preached, I told you, I remember I once was blind, but now I see. I remember when I couldn't see the Lord. I remember when I was not a part of the church. I remember being ostracized. I remember being isolated. I remember being talked about. I remember being depressed. I remember being homeless. I remember being hungry. I remember being all of these different ways. I remember struggling. I remember being embarrassed. I remember feeling like there's no way out of this situation that I'm in right now. It happened this year. There's been times when things have been going on in my mind and I thought that there was no way out. This man is sitting there, my wife illuminated to me. He didn't even know that there was a possibility that his blindness could be healed. He didn't know. He didn't approach Jesus. He didn't approach Jesus. Jesus approached him. Oftentimes you'll hear a preacher come up and say, you got to do these things. And he did do something, and we'll see. But Jesus initiated contact. Jesus sees you. He sees exactly what's going on with you. He sees the sin. He sees what you're doing well. He sees where you've been. He sees where you're at right now. And He sees where you're going. Look at verse 2. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? See, and my mom, she hears me talk about this all the time. You know, we came up blessed by the Lord, but rough. You know, we struggled a little bit, but we were still blessed. But people always found themselves talking about our family all the time. And there were different ways that I felt about it. Sometimes I was extremely embarrassed. Sometimes I became angry. Sometimes I felt isolated, even in the church. My mom would go to the front of the church, talk about the goodness of God, and I kind of just scoop down in my seat like, oh no, she's talking about the goodness of the Lord again. But praise God that she did that. Praise God that she acknowledged through the struggle where our help came from. See, right here, they're looking at this man. Someone's looking at the specific circumstance that you're in, the specific struggle that you're going through, and they're asking, who sinned, Did they sin or the parents sin? Did her husband sin? Did his wife sin? Or are they going to sin? See, God's perspective is different than the worldly perspective. It's not the same. He's going to give them some insight today in the text as he works in the life of this blind man in verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. Ooh, I love Jesus. I was telling my wife last night, I love, like, a lot of times we kind of look at Jesus as, like, he was a sage, he was a great teacher. But I think Jesus also had, like, kind of this attitude a little bit, like this matter-of-fact way of going about things. And this is an example. I'm going to give you an example. If you don't look closely, you'll miss it. I was listening to the comedian Michael Jr. Anybody make it to see Michael Jr.? Oh, everybody missed him. Y'all missed it. I took my wife. He was downtown, Grand Wayne. Funny. He's a Christian comedian, and so it was funny. And so he kind of like explained to us how comedians keep crowds moving. And he said he uses a setup. The setup is kind of like getting everybody on the same page and kind of telling a story. And then he delivers a punchline. So, setup, punchline. And Jesus set this thing up today. All right, so right now we're looking at the setup. We have this man that was born blind. Yes? Everybody around him, Jesus, he got a lot of different people. He has disciples around him. As you're going to see in a minute, he has Pharisees around him. He's just amongst people. And everything that Jesus said, people hung on his every word. We ought to do that too, by the way. All right, everything Jesus says in Scripture, you should kind of like meditate on it and let it ruminate a little bit in you. And so this is the setup that Jesus says. Jesus answered in verse 3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." Okay? First of all, he's removing right now, remember, in this day and age, if someone was born with ailments, it was due to sin. They were unclean. So that right there in itself, it would attune people in. Like, all right, what is this Jesus talking about now? What is he talking about? This is what he says. But, and in the Greek, that but is an emphatic but. He said, on the contrary. That could read, on the contrary, right there. That the works of God should be revealed in him. That thing that people are talking about, that embarrassment that you've been feeling, those things in your brain that have been causing depression, those things that have been isolating you from other people, those things that when you look in the mirror that you kind of feel like kind of disgusted about yourself, those decisions that you made that you feel like led you down a path that you wish you never would have got on the contrary, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I'm trying to explain something to you. This is what God sent me to tell you today. The specific things that the world looks at as bad, or even you look at as bad, or look at as suffering, or ailment, or weaknesses, or being poor, God is going to use those things to reveal His works in you. He's going to use those things. And see, you gotta repaint the picture of the things that you're going through right now. Jesus wants you to understand that the world sees it one way. You may even be seeing it one way. But he sent me here, that word sent. He sent me here today to tell you that it happened so that the works of God would be revealed in you. He's going to reveal the works of God in you today. He's going to reveal the works of God through the very thing that causes you shame, through the very thing that causes you depression, through the very relationships that seem broken, through the very circumstances that you seem like you can't get out of. He's going to take what's impossible with man, but it's possible with God. This is what he sent me to tell you this on today. Verse 3 again, Jesus answered, said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." Some of the stuff that you're going through, you're not to blame. Satan, the word Satan or Satan means accuser. He stands before God day and night accusing you of all the things that you've done. And he has you in this little ball, kind of like blaming yourself for some of the stuff you're going through is not your fault. Some of the stuff that's happening is your fault. But guess what? We serve a God. And he sent me here today to reveal something to you. He says, that the works of God should be revealed in him. Everybody in this room was born blind. I'm going to give you a sneak peek into the end of this thing. We were born blind. Not physical sight, with spiritual sight. Unable to see who we are in God. But today he's going to offer you vision. He's going to offer you sight. Some people are still questioning whether God is real. I don't question whether God's real anymore. Why? You know why? Because he opened my eyes. I once was blind, but now I see. When you hear, see, when I was coming up, young people, that was spoken amongst us very often. I once was blind, but now I see. And I used to sing it, and I'm like, what are they talking about? And it wasn't until like in my 30s where I started to understand, oh, I didn't see. God wants, he said, I am the light. Without light, we wouldn't see anything. We're so used to light that we think that it's natural. It's not. God says, I am the light of the world. He's going to illuminate your circumstances today. If you take whatever it is, I don't care what it is. If you take that circumstance and let God be the light to paint the picture in your mind as to what that circumstance really means, he's going to reveal something in you. Let's look at verse 4. And this one, this verse 4 was, it was a lot for me. It was a lot. And when you read it, let's look at verse 4. It says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And so I'm like, what does this have to do with this story? And then the verse after, the same thing. I couldn't put it together, so I started praying. I worshiped. You know, I went into different commentaries to see what the commentators thought it meant, and couldn't find it. I read what they said, but the Spirit of God in me is like, that's not what I want you to share tomorrow. That's not what I want you to share. Oh, but he opened it up to me at about 11 o'clock last night. He opened this thing up. Oh my goodness. First of all, does anybody's version in here say we right there instead of I? If you're reading a different version. Your version says we. Anybody else's version say we? Hurt. We. So we got about half the room with eyes and about half the room with we. Because there's a dispute in the Greek, how they wrote it is very close. Like how Jesus used this word I and we. And so the biblical scholars are kind of like wrestling with whether I or we should be there. I like we. Mine says I, but I like we. Because Jesus is kind of including us in this thing with him. All right. So whether it says I or we, both of them are encouraging. I'm going with we because I like that. I like to know and think that God, that I'm a part of all of this that God is doing. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me. And I kept asking myself, Jesus, what does this have to do with you healing this blind man? I mean, healing a blind man is a work of God, obviously. But Jesus, why did you choose to say it right here? And these are the types of questions that you have to ask in Scripture. I must work the works of him who sent me. And this is what Jesus said. This is what he said. What's that word I keep saying? Another word, sent. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me. I was sent here to teach you, to tell you this message. Jesus was sent to the world to save the world, but he was there in this specific moment, right here in time, to do a specific work. And you know why he was able to do the work? Because he was given the authority to do so. Man, God, when Jesus left, he said, all authority. Anybody know the verse? All authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth has been given to me. Jesus has all authority, every circumstance. Your job, authority. Your health, authority. Your relationships, authority. Your mental state, authority. Your finances, authority. He has authority over all of these things. Like, well, why is it messed up? You got to give it to him. Does it mean it's going to transform overnight? No, but he will transform your mind at the blink of an eye. Just like he's about to restore this man's sight right now. He was talking about authority, but the second thing that he revealed was this. You want to know the second thing that was revealed in this text? Jesus is paying attention to who's listening to him right now. Remember, the Pharisees are there. And you don't see this because it's further down in the text. But when we get into the next section, you're going to find out that this is the Sabbath day. And they were always looking to catch Jesus up in violation of the law. And on the Sabbath day, everyone was commanded not to work. Let's read back. Jesus is about to show you something. He said, I must work. See, I love Jesus. This is that him kind of being, to me, like facetious Jesus. Yeah? Because it's the Sabbath day and he's not supposed to be working, right? He says, I must work the works. He used it three times on him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So he's talking, and the Pharisees is probably like, oh, he's talking about working? Dude, y'all know those people who waiting on you to make a crazy decision or waiting to drop that dime on you. And Jesus is like, oh, he's talking about working. I believe that they were so religious that you can't even say work on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus he's drawing in this crowd right now as to what's about to happen. And so I've read deeper. And see, what happened was is that the religious people, the preachers of their day, the ones who everybody looked at and like, oh, they're holy, they added stuff to the law. And if you look at it's called the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, they added all of these different definitions. It's 39, I think, different definitions of what work entails. And Jesus violates three of them today. That's why I love Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't care about the traditions of man. He upholds the law, but he don't care about the traditions of man. And don't you allow the traditions of man or what's impossible with man to paint your mind in terms of your circumstances. Jesus is looking at this thing. He said, I must. That word, again, emphatic, must. I don't have any other choice but to do exactly what I'm about to do right now. Right now, today, it's available to somebody or everybody in this room. Jesus is saying, right, I must work the works of God. I don't know what the must is for you. There's got to be a circumstance in your life that God, I need you to do something. God knows the specific circumstance. And Jesus is saying to you, this is the word from me, from him, to me, to you. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me. God sent Jesus Christ to the earth so that you would have access to this message today. So that you would have access to the healing power that's available to you. So you would have access for deliverance from your transgressions. That you would have access to deliverance from all the different things that you're looking at. Look at this now, verse 4. Says, I must work the works of God. I'm staying on this for a minute because I want you to understand what Jesus is about to do. Set up. Here comes the punchline. Ooh, Jesus got him. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Once again, look at your circumstances by looking at me. If you're not looking at your circumstances through me, you're not seeing it properly. The disciples were in a boat going across some water, and a storm came, and they on there going crazy. Jesus sent them across the water, and the boat gets to, like, it's about to capsize. Until you've been in the ocean or been in one of those lakes that really, oh my goodness, I'm telling you, them waves, you think you're about to die. And so they're in this boat, and then they look off in the distance, and then they see what looks like a ghost, but it's Jesus walking on the water. And then Jesus calls Peter. Peter said, if it's you, Jesus, call me out of the boat. He said, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on water. Somebody in here needs to walk on water. Some of you need that type of thing to happen in your life right now. God said, come. Do you trust me enough to step out on your faith into the impossible, even though the storm is raging? If you keep your eyes on me, if you lift me up and understand that I am the light of the world, look at your circumstances through the light of Jesus Christ. I don't care what the circumstance is. He says, I am the light. Verse 6. When he had said these things, here's the punchline. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. Like, ugh, that's kind of nasty, right? But guess what he did? He violated man's law. One of the rules say that you can't make clay and knead it together on the Sabbath day. That was man's law. He did it anyway. There's people right now that's looking at your background, that's looking at your resume, that's looking at your past marriages and divorces, that's looking at your history and saying, you can't do that. But Jesus said, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what man got to say to you right now. He said, I'm doing it anyway. When you're moving forward, hey, when you go to Virginia, you got to do it anyway. You got to go out there knowing that God sent you out there on an assignment. I'm doing it anyway. I'm doing it anyway. Why? Because he sent me. Second thing he did, I'm back in verse 6b. It says, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Violation number two. You won't anoint any man with anything other than what he's anointed with on a normal day. That's one of their laws that the man had wrote. And Jesus said, I'm doing it anyway. He said, I'm going to work the works of God today. You have access today. Oh, it was such a blessing to hear Faith say that she... I've been praying for you, Faith. It was such a blessing to hear the spiritual restoration that God did in your life. And I know that there's other guys. I've been telling me, I've been praying for you, Fairhaven, more so than any other week. Before I delivered this message, I prayed for you. I prayed for you this week. And it's just a blessing. There's so many different things that's going on. God is doing stuff anyway, in spite of us. Please don't allow your weaknesses to have you diminishing what God will do in your mind. Please don't let him do that. Verse 7. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and he came back seeing. Violation number three. Literally, in the Mishnah, it said, no healing unless it's a life or death circumstance on the Sabbath day. What did Jesus say? Y'all got to take this with you. I'm doing it anyway. Don't ever let... Look, the works of God are not bound by human traditions. Don't look at rules. Don't look at human, you know, limitations, your limitations. They're not... God is not bound by these things. This man was born blind. He shows up on the Sabbath day. He sees the man. And he says, you know what? Today is the day. And everybody's looking at him like, man, this man sinned or his parents sinned. Everybody's looking down upon this man. They were placing themselves up here and they was placing him down here. And God said, no, I'm about to lift him up for you today. Matter of fact, he experienced more of God that day than they did. I'm telling you what. The revelation that he got this day is powerful. Let's keep moving. Verse 8. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? People are going to try to identify you as the person that you used to be. They're going to see you and they're going to make that correlation even once you've changed. Even once God has set you free. Even once God has broke those chains off you. Some people are going to see the new you. Some people are going to see the old you, and you just got to keep it moving. When these little girls be talking about you at school, some of them going to like you, some of them ain't going to like you. You just got to keep it moving. When these guys is talking about you, some of them going to like you, some of them ain't going to like you. But don't allow them to lead you away from the truth. Verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? His response is kind of like me. His response to them when he asked how... He's talking about the physical thing that happened. Listen, look at what he said. He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. That's what I did. He told me to do it. That's what happened physically. But what is revealed in the man is what Jesus is trying to do in each one of us. The sixth one, the reason why John, if you go back up to verse 7, and it says, and he said to him, go wash. That word wash is interesting. That word, it means to cleanse. It means to make clean. It means to make pure. And the only way to be made pure is through Jesus Christ. He's not talking about the outward cleanliness. He's talking about the heart cleanliness. He's talking about the mind cleanliness. He's talking about the spirit cleanliness. And the only one that can bring you that is the one who was sent, the man Jesus Christ. He said, go wash in the pool. If you're dealing with some circumstances that you can't quite wrap your mind in, you have to go and wash. You gotta wash. You gotta go into the Word and you gotta see, you gotta turn on the light, you gotta hang that light over here, over you, over the Word, and you gotta get into the Word and let Jesus minister to you. I know it sounds like read the Bible. Absolutely! Next week we're going to talk about how the sheep hear His voice. You can't hear His voice if you don't get in the Word. He speaks to us through the Word. If there's one thing that I can send you away with, my sister, one charge with you is to spend some time in the Word. She's fine. Spend some time in the Word. That's my charge to everybody. Wash in the Word. It says go to the pool called sin. He's given us a picture of what He's trying to do. He's given him some instructions. He understands that he's blind and he's sending him to do something. Then they said, verse 12, where is he? He said, I don't know. They was looking for Jesus after that. So, let me make sure that I'm handling everything that I need to handle. Yep, I did. So let's look at what happened as I close this out. Let's look at what happened. Verse 13. Everybody get your Bibles. I want you to see this. Because I know that some of you may not go and read this, and you got to get it down in you. So Jesus sees you, first of all. He sees your circumstances. He cares about what you're going through. He's concerned about it. He has compassion on it. Okay? The next thing, I'm out of there. That's okay. You're good. The next thing is, God is not confined to human. He does the impossible. He is not confined to human traditions or human limitations. He's just not. Man, God cares, first of all, and He's not limited, and He wants to show you something. He wants to reveal His work in you. A lot of times, if we hold our hands out and we want something in our hands, but He wants to reveal His work in you. There's nothing like when God reveals His work inside of you. It's nothing like it. It's nothing like when He transforms your mind. Verse 13. This is what happened to the man. You know what? I'm going to skip over some of this. So the man goes to the priest to show that he had received his sight. The law said when you were healed or cleansed, you had to go to the priest, and the priest would deem you clean, healed. So he goes to the priest. Okay? And the priest said, who did this? Let's look at it. Let's look at this interaction right here. Verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. That's a question someday. When people are asking you how you received your sight, are you ready to give them an answer? We need to be ready to give an answer. That's not in the notes, that just came to me. We need to be ready to give them an answer. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath, human traditions. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division amongst them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Up in verse 11, he was a man. Yes? God is drawing this man into a direct revelation. He's showing us how he brings us in. In verse 11, he was a man. In verse 17, Jesus is now a prophet. Okay? We're going to watch this thing grow. Okay? Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, and so they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." And that's exactly what he's about to do. He's about to speak. And this is what you're going to do too. I declare today in the name of Jesus Christ that somebody in this room is going to look at their circumstances. Instead of looking at it the way they've been looking at it, they're going to look at it the way that Jesus wants you to look at it. And those circumstances are going to begin to change, and that you're going to, from your mouth, from your lips, say what this man is about to say. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind, and he said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." They talking about Jesus. They saying Jesus is a sinner. Verse 25, he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not," what did he say? "I do not know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." This is why I preach like the way I preach. This is why I be sweating when I'm up here talking to you. Because of where I've been from, I was blind, but now, look at my eyes. Do you think I'm lying to you? I once was blind, but now I see. They're going to try to convince you that this is not true. I've seen him with my own eyes. Me. In me. Right here. In my ear. Jesus the Christ. He's a real person. He's sitting up on the throne right now declaring his majesty. In all the world right now, they're going to try to convince you that he's not real. I don't know whether who they think he is, but to me, I once was blind, but now I see. Verse 27, he answered them, verse 26. Then they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? How did Jesus stop me from drinking and smoking? How did Jesus prevent me from chasing these women around town? How did Jesus prevent me from reading other things and not seeking the Lord? I don't know. All I know is that I once was blind, but now I see." Verse 28, then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." Verse 30, the man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God..." Is there any worshipers of God in here today? You know what? Matter of fact, Fairhaven, I gotta say it. The next time I come up in here and y'all not worshiping God, I'm gonna say something to you. We got to worship God in spirit and in truth. It ain't just about lifting up your voice. You better lift up your heart and sing to the Lord, because he's a good God. We got to acknowledge him for who he is. A lot of the things we're going through is because we're not shouting, "Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah, Lord! Thank you, God! Thank you for your deliverance! Thank you for your majesty!" Some of these things we got to do. I'm telling you. Hey, I'm just giving it to you how it come to me. "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him and said, "You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us." And they cast him out. They kicked him out. I'm going to stop right there. Let me bring this together. Let me bring this together. Canaan. The works of God. I know I've been going a long time. He's working in you today. It ain't going to seem like it. You're going to go home, play with your toys, play with your siblings. He's working. He's moving you towards something in your future that's very important. very important. Here's an assignment for you to do. Here's an assignment for you. What's your name? What's your name? What's that? Jaden? Jaden. I don't know who you know here or why you showed up. I believe that every person that heard me speak this today, that is for a specific purpose. I don't know your walk. I don't know where you're going. But one thing I know, that I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know where you are with Jesus. But if you've been questioning who He is, I want you to go home today when you're by yourself. And I want you to say something. I want you to say this. This is if you don't believe in Jesus. If you don't, Jesus, if you are real, show me. Show me who you are. Here, He's going to show you. Here and here, He's going to talk to you. Don't be afraid, because it might be scary, okay? You go home, you're going to do that. You're going to make that commitment. All right, all the young people here, you're going back to school, right? Going back to school. It's all about Jesus. You don't see it yet. It's all about Jesus. It's who He's creating you to be. He's trying to create you into a marvelous queen someday. Marvelous queen someday. And there's a specific way that a queen walks, speaks, acts. Yes? He's raising you up into that person today. Some days we can see it. Some days we can't see it. Some days we feel like it. Some days we don't feel like it. But I want you to remember today that He is the light of the world. He restored a man who couldn't see from birth, and now he can see. He can do the same for you. He's like, Andre, I can already see. But there's some things you can't see. He'll reveal them to you. It's very important. All right? It's very important. Don't allow your past circumstances to dictate how you see your story. Satan is trying to tell you your story's over. Your story ain't over, brother. I know you done lived a lot longer than me. You still got works to do. There's still some works you got to do, man. There's still some people that you got to touch. While it's daytime, you have to do the works of God. It's an assignment. I don't know what the assignment is. He got an assignment for you, though. She's going to help you get to your assignment. She's going to help you get to your assignment. Believe that. Your words touched me last week. They touched me. Because it was right there where my sermon was at. Because that's me. That's me sometimes. I go to that same place where I'm just a speck of dust. Feel like I'm just blowing in the wind and getting kicked on and trampled on. But we're blessed. Because of that position, God continues to renew our mind and remind us of how much we need Him. Keep doing what you're doing. That word, it's a gift. Just as much as I have a gift to do this, you have a gift with that. And you need to keep making, make sure that you keep writing, but most importantly that you share it, because that's the light that He put inside of you. And you got to, don't put no lampshade over that thing. You got to put that thing on here. That thing was good. Alright? We need that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, for Your love and for Your compassion today. I thank You for all our eyes have seen, all that our ears have heard, all that our minds have been exposed to. Heavenly Father, guide us, bless us as we go into this time of communion, Heavenly Father. We thank You for being the light of the world. We thank You that You see us. We thank You that You are not bound by human limitations or traditions. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have washed us clean, that You've given us direction, that You showed us through this blind man that if we hear Your voice and we obey Your command, that we can be made whole. God, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.